Shmo is the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a parsha that's relevant to every one of us, because we know, we say, "B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lidus es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza mitzrayim." There's a chayav on every individual yid to not only remember Tzchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's one of the sheish tzchiras, but to some degree a person has to enact and has to envision himself going out of Mitzrayim. And there are many interpretations as to what that means and how you makayim that, how you see yourself going out of Mitzrayim. In the Agoda we say, b'chol dor v'dor, ilu lo yitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu esaviseinu b'mitzrayim, harei onu v'neinu b'nei v'neinu m'shubodim ayinu l'parei b'mitzrayim. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken our ancestors out of Mitzrayim, then we and our children and all of our grandchildren would still have been enslaved by Mitzrayim. Right? It's a very strange statement. Why would we still be in Mitzrayim? The Mitzrayim of old is long gone. The Mitzrayim of old is long gone. So there's Hesberim in Pshat, what that means. But in Soyd, what it means is that there's a klipa of Mitzrayim that could only have been broken through at that moment. And this was the last moment, was the 11th hour. If it wasn't for that moment, then somehow or another, we would have been held back by a spiritual force of Mitzrayim. And in this vein, the idea of going out of Mitzrayim is not only remembering the historical event, but breaking free from one's own personal Mitzrayim. As they bring to Chesvorim, that there's a process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael was born in Mitzrayim not by accident. That was the avoda. Break your way out of Mitzrayim. As a means, as a preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah, you have to make your way out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to try to pull you out, and you're going to resist, and you're going to say it's best to stay here with the cucumbers and the watermelons, and you're not going to know, and there's going to be nisyonos and challenges, and even the masois, till eventually you come to Eretz Yisrael, until you come to Matan Torah and so on. So it's a process. And if that's true for Klal Yisrael as a nation, it's true for every Yochid. That every Yochid has Mitzrayim, has to break out of Mitzrayim. If you think that you're entirely liberated, that there's no means for you to go out of Mitzrayim, then your journey's come to an end. Right? Then you should bid farewell from your family, maybe. Because you've done it. Yetzias Mitzrayim repeats itself time and again. Even though you were Makayim Mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim yesterday, there's a new level of Mitzrayim today, because Mitzrayim means constraints and limitation. And even if you've broken through yesterday's, in proportion to where you can be tomorrow, there's another level of Mitzrayim. Now, Mitzrayim historically was a geographical location on the map. Now when we talk about Mitzrayim, we're talking about our own internal boundaries. The word metzar means a limitation, right? A metzar. So our own, the things that bar us from exercising, from activating our potential. And if you want to split that in convenient terms, it's the guf and the neshama. The neshama has to break free from the agenda of the guf, if you like. In Yiddish, there is an expression with regards to the word guf, that guf is a Rosh HaTevis. The word guf is comprised of gimel, vov, fe. So guf stands, in Yiddish it stands for guf vil fressen. Right? The guf wants to eat. That's something that it wants. Guf vil pofen. Guf wants to sleep. Guf vil foilen. The guf wants to be lazy. And if you say to the guf that the guf et foilen, that eventually the guf is going to rot, the goof responds and says, goof vil fart, it wants nonetheless. All of that is contained in the word goof. The word goof is that which represents not only the physical body, but the pursuit of physicality. The default position of a man's consciousness from the moment he's born till the moment he dies, 365 days a year for 120 years, is self-interest, pursuit of self, and entertaining the self, feeding the self, worshipping the self, whether it's pleasure, power, it's your interests. And the neshama, by definition, wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is an ongoing struggle of breaking free from Mitzrayim. The ultimate, the eventual goal
is that there shouldn't be a Mitzrayim left. A person should have overcome it entirely, which is, of course, a very high madrega. So what I want to share with you today, Rabbi Yisrael, I suppose you want to learn a Rashi with you. There's a Rashi that says the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should go out and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He should go take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Shlach Mabiyatishlach, he doesn't want to do it. But eventually he acquiesces, he's going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe es ishtoi ves bonov, Vayarkiveim al hachamor. Right? He puts them on the donkey. Ishtoi and bonov sit on the donkey. Al hachamor. So here we have a very strange Rashi. A seemingly strange Rashi. Rashi teaches the word chamor, ala chamor. Rashi has, it would seem Rashi is bothered by the hay. Ha chamor. It could have said he put them on a chamor. It says he put them on the chamor. Hay is always the hay ayidia. Says Rashi, chamor hamiyuchot. This is a unique chamor. Which chamor was it? Hu ha chamor shechavash Avraham lakedas Yitzchok. This is the same chamor that Avraham Avinu was chayvish when he went to Akedas Yitzchok. And this will be the same chamor which Mashiach is going to come, as the Pasuk says, on Yivereich Bala Chamor. So a medrash. Now, it would be a tremendous test that this chamor should live for so many thousands of years. So the morale says it means Beruchni, it's the chamor, and so on. But I want to share with you one pshat, what's lichta in the Rashi. Right? What's lichta in this Rashi? There's a sefer called Sroi Hamor that was written by one of the Grushei Svard, right? Talking 500 years ago, about Rom Saba Svardi, who fled to Portugal, and then he fled from Portugal. The Chido in his Shem Agdoilim brings a mice of how he passed away, that he was on a ship, and the ship wasn't going in the direction that he wanted, and suddenly there were storms, and the ship was going to go under, and the captain understood that this is the man who was the cause, and he said, what can I do? So that the ship shouldn't, we shouldn't all die. He said, promise me that after I pass away, you'll bring me to a Moishev of Yisrael, and you'll hand me over to the Yiddish Kehillah. The Kachavi, he passed away on the ship. Passed away on the ship, straight after they've undertaken this promise. And he was taken to a Kehillah where he was buried. So the Tzoramur says, on the Pasuk Vayachvash Avraham, the Tzoramur says, Omru Razal. Omru Razal, miyoyim shenivra ha'olam, from the moment of Briyas ha'olam, lo yihoya mi shechavash es ha'chamayri. There was nobody who saddled his chamur. From the time of creation, nobody managed to saddle his chamur. Ad sheba Avraham. Until Avraham Avinu, nobody saddled his chamur. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'yachvash Avraham, v'yachkim ralabek, v'yachvash ha'chamur. So again, here the question is, there was nobody who saddled the chamor before Avraham Avinu. What does this mean? What does this mean? So we know that the word chamor refers, is symbolic of chomer, of chumrius. Chamor is the chumrius. Chamor refers to gashmius. Chamor refers to materialism, to physicality. Avraham Avinu was the first one who taught how to be chivesh the chomer. Now, to be sure, before Avraham Avinu, there were great tzaddik, right? Noach was a tzaddik, Mesushalach was a tzaddik, there were other tzaddik, Mshem Ve'ever. Yeah, he was the nemesis of Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu was mechadish something new in the world that didn't exist before. That's what it says in this Razal. We know that Avraham Avinu, with Avraham Avinu, began the period of Shnei Alofim Torah. Even though Matan Torah was much later, but with Avram began the Tkufa of Torah. The Tkufa of Torah began with Avram Avinu. The Pasuk says, Es ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron, and the Targum teaches, Shibdei lo iraisa. He was Meshabed this nefesh lo iraisa. So he brought Torah into the world. The Tkufa of Torah began with Avram Avinu. It wasn't culminated, it didn't come to its full height until the moment when the Torah was actually given, but Avram Avinu introduced that period. That period of Alpayim Torah, Shnei Alofim Torah, began with Avraham Avinu. With regards to Matan Torah, there's a Medrash that says the follows. Moshul, says the Medrash, there's a Moshul for a Melech that was Gezer Gzeirah. And what was the Gzeirah? The Gzeirah was that B'nei Roimi Lo Yerdu L'Bovel. Bnei Bavel lo yalu l'roimi. These can't go down and these can't go up. And then there came a moment where there was a bitul of this gzeir. Says the Medrash, Matan Torah was a bitul of the gzeir between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. And where do we see this? Like it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sina. Ulamaisha Omar, Alei El Elohim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down into the world. Moshe Rabbeinu ascends into the higher realms. So we have this bitul Zeta with these two movements in both directions. The lower realms are going up and the higher realms are coming down. What does this mean? What does this mean? So on a simple level, of course, what it means is that a new level of Kedusha was injected into the world. It wasn't possible to attain this level of Dveikus, this level of connection, whilst remaining in the Gashmistika world, to have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was impossible or nearly impossible. Matan Torah broke that barrier and allowed for a new type of connection. But on another level, Elyonim and Tachtonim exist within man himself. Within a person there are the higher realms and there are the lower realms. And prior to Matan Torah, a prerequisite, a condition for connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that you had to let go of the lower realms. You had to let go of the lower realms. The Rambam describes a process according to which every person in this room, right, the person sitting in your seat is capable of becoming a Novi. So the Rambam writes, simple steps. There's a few simple steps that would allow you to become a Novi. The only problem is that you have to give up everything else. You know, somebody once made fun of a tzaddik and he said to him, what's the big deal? What's the difference between me and you? What's the difference between me and you? You know, I enjoy pizza, I eat pizza. You enjoy learning, you learn. What's the difference? We're both invested in our pleasures, in our interests. So what's the difference between me and you? So he answered him, you're absolutely right. The only difference is that in order for me to have my pleasure, I have to give up every other pleasure in the world. Right? My pleasure requires that you should give up every other pursuit in the world. Doesn't work with anything else. So the ability, the condition for Kedusha before Matan Torah was that you had to be in a state of Elyon. You had to be removed from Olam Hazeh. You had to be removed from this physical world as a precondition for having attachment, for having dveikus, for having connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says with regards to Yosef HaTzadik, Vayaka Yosef Es'echof, Ve'en Lohikiru. They were not makir him. Why were they not makir him? One of the explanations was that Yosef was of such a level that it defied the norm of his time. Yosef had the ability to be in Mitzrayim, to be amongst Paray, to be in the world, and yet be on that level of Kedusha that was in par, if not greater than the other Shvatim. And that's something they couldn't understand. As a precondition for Kedusha, you have to become a shepherd, you have to get away from Paray, you have to be as far from Paray as you possibly can. How could you have Kedusha in the household of Paray? How could you have Kedusha when you're engaging with everything around you that is the opposite of Kedusha? And they were right. They were right. Yosef was from a different era. Yosef was of a different level. So prior to Matan Torah, says this Medrash, in order to have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had to have detachment from Olam Hazeh. You had to be detached from Olam Hazeh to a maximum degree. To a maximum degree. You couldn't be invested in Olam Hazeh and still connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Couldn't work. Tachtoinim lo yalu lo yoinim. You're welcome to join the Elyonim, but then you have to let go of the Tachtoinim. Then you have to let go of the Tachtoinim. You can't have both. It doesn't work. Post-Matan Torah, Elyonim yerdu la Tachtoinim. Even within the Gashmistika world, it's possible to have Kedusha and utilize the Gashmis for Kedusha, and even more so, permeate the Gashmis with Kedusha. Three different steps, three different stages. One is to, even whilst you're involved with the Gashmis, you should retain your Kedusha and the Gashmis shouldn't pull you down. The second is that you should utilize the Gashmis for the sake of Kedusha. Kol ma'asecho! Your ma'asim are l'shem shamayim. And the third is that the Gashmis should be transformed. The Gashmis should be made holy. Kedusha should be brought into the Gashmis itself. There's a verse in the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says on the Pasuk, Kisira chamor senecha rebis tachas masoi, right? B'chodalto me'azoyv loy ozev tazev imoy. Says the Baal Shem Tov, kisira chamur. When you see the chomer, when a person makes an inventory of what goes on in his inner being, and he sees that his enemy is his gashmis, that's the problem. In his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the obstacle is the attachment to Olam Hazeh Gashmi. Chamor is the chomer. Kisira chamor. When you focus on the chamor, and you will discover that Seinachol. So you will think, I should back off, I should cut myself off from it. Says the Baal Shem Tov, that's not the avoda. Ozoiv ta'azoiv imoy. Utilize it. Elevate it. Transform it. That's the chiddush of Matan Torah. Chiddush of Matan Torah is that almost every mitzvah in the Torah requires as a precondition that you need to have certain physical means to do the mitzvah. Right? You need an esek in order to do the alad minim. You need the ur of an animal to put on tefillin. You need gashmis to do a mitzvah. You need a gashmis environment to lead a yiddish life. And you need to engage in gashmis in order to provide for doing a mitzvah. Now these are not just unfortunate realities that we need because otherwise we couldn't reach the end goal of doing a mitzvah. But this is part of the goal itself. Part of the goal itself is to elevate, to make a difference. So Voshnei Dor Nashi, let's take a look at Nashi over here. Nashi says that there were three chamoyrim. Rashi talks about three donkeys and three choymers, right? The first one was Avraham Avinu, which Avraham Avinu chavash, a chamoy shechavash Avraham lakedas Yitzchok. And then it was the chamoy of this week's parasha where Moshe Rabbeinu says, where the pasuk says with regards to Moshe, vayarkiveim al hachamoyr. And then there's the third one, she'osid melech ha-mashiach lihigolois olof. She'ne'emar oni v'roich ba'lacham. So there's Avraham Avinu's chamor, there's Moshe Rabbeinu's chamor, and there's the chamor of melech ha-mashiach. With regards to Avraham Avinu's chamor, Rashi says he was choyvesh the chamor. What does it mean to be choyvesh the chamor? It doesn't say that he was roicheb on the chamor. He didn't ride on the chamor, nor did his family members ride on the chamor. It says it's the Eishvah Macheles. The Macheles he put on the Chamer, but he was Chayvish the Chamer. He saddled the Chamer. Right? He harnessed the Chamer. With regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that his children and his wife rode on the Chamer, sat on the Chamer. With regards to Melech HaMashiach, it says that this is the Chamer in which Melech HaMashiach possibly Golois Olav, will be revealed on it. And it's interesting because Rashi brings a pasuk that says Ani Verdoich Bala Chamer, but Rashi changes from that and says Osili Golois Olav, which seems to indicate that we're not talking about the same Roichiv as we have in this week's parsha with regards to Moshe. It's a different type of Roichiv. The Roichiv of Bonov and Ishtoi with Moshe Rabbeinu is not the same as with Melech HaMashiach, where he himself will be Roichiv Bala Chamer, and that is Li Golois Olav. So what are these three things? In practical terms, Rabbi Yisai, if we think about Gashmiyat, right, we think about the Chamoy, we think about the Choymer, you can saddle it into a point, to a point where you are entirely in control. Where it cannot interfere, it cannot intervene, it cannot obstruct, it cannot block you from your Avodas Hashem in any way whatsoever. Vayachavosh. You've put it in its place. You close the door on it, you lock it into a box, and you are now able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any distraction. There's nothing that can get in your way. For the 5 hours that your kviyas of Limud HaTorah takes you during the day, your phone is off, your business is out of your mind, it has no place, it doesn't exist in your life. It's chavush. It's in a barn, it's out of control, it's out of your reach. And therefore it doesn't interfere with your Kedusha. It doesn't interfere with your Avodas Hashem. It doesn't interfere with your progress. It's Chavush. But there's a level above that. There's a level above that where you didn't saddle it or tie it up or lock it away. On the contrary, it serves you. It serves you. It is utilized. It is a function in your avodas Hashem. When we say b'chol ma'asecho l'shem shomayim, all of your activities are l'shem shomayim. Or b'chol drachecho de'eyu. You're not saying that the gashmius has been put aside to a point where it doesn't distract you, where it doesn't interfere. The gashmius is incorporated into the process. The gashmius has a function. The gashmius serves a purpose. The gashmius is utilized. There's a siman of Shulchan Aruch that says that when you do ma'asecho, you have to do it l'shem shamayim. So you're involved. You're involved. You brought kedusha into a space, into a territory that is outside. The chamor itself now serves a purpose in your avodas Hashem. In davening, says in Sforim, that there's different stages. And each one progressively comes up on top of the previous one. So you have Sukkot Zimra, you have Birchas Krishma, you have Krishma, and then you have Shemayna Esra. Four levels, and it says as far as it goes according to the four Olamis, Asiya, Yitzira, Bria, and Atzilus, which is the highest. Four levels, the highest of which is Shemayna Esra. Now if you stop at Krishma for a moment, Krishma is a very, very high level. If a person would experience Kriya Shema, the person closes his eyes. Doesn't only close his eyes, but he blocks his eyes with his hand. And he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And what he's saying at that moment, and we would hope, right, if somebody was on the right level, Shulchan Aruch says, if you didn't daven with Kavanah Shemineh Esrei, don't re-daven, because the likelihood is the second time around, you're also not going to have Kavan. But in an ideal world, a person who would live with Shema in the right way, at that moment, when he says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there is nothing else. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he cuts off from the entire world. Nothing has any significance. Nothing has any value. There's nothing that is worthy when you're focused on Hashem. When you're focused on Hashem, everything else pales to insignificance entirely. Doesn't matter. It has no weight. It carries no weight in your life. And that's why you close your eyes and you block your face. You block your eyes. Because Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the only thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, from Shema, we move up a step. And we move into Shemayna Esrei. What do we say in Shemayna Esrei? Right? We say, Shema, we say, Baruch Aleinu, Roshana Azoi, it says, Kol Menei Suwa, Sola Toivo, Sein Talu, Motili, Racha, Pnei Adama, we say, Refaenu. We ask for all of our needs. We ask for all of our physical needs. We were just on such a high level where nothing mattered. It says Shema Yisrael is a level of Mesiras Nefesh. You're willing to sacrifice anything and everything for Hashem because nothing really has any value in proportion when it comes to your connection to HaKadosh Baruch. So you were just on a level where everything meant nothing. And from there you move seemingly upwards and now you're asking for everything. You're asking for A, B, C, and D. How does that work? But the answer is, Rabbi Isai, that the avoid of a yid post matan Torah is the true Hashem Echad. And the true Hashem Echad is not where you make a line down the middle and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is on one side and the rest of everything, all other realities on the other side. The true Hashem Echad is where there's a circle and everything is included in that Echad. Ideally, a Shemayna Esrei that comes on the back of a Kriya Shema would be one in which Baruch Aleinu is a level where your Parnasa is part of Hashem Echad. As Kol Menei Suwas on the Toivet says in the Pasuk, you should ask for an Esrei. You should ask for Matzahs. Or you should ask for Parnasa so you can be Mefaris your children in the Eifen and L'Shem Shemayim, and it's all part of Kedusha. It's all incorporated in this avodas Hashem. And this is the second level. Avraham Avinu was at the very beginning of the tkufa of Shnei Halachim Torah. But once Torah was given, we have Vayarkivei Malach Hamor. The Hamor itself is part of the journey. Not that you are chayvish the Hamor so it doesn't interrupt your journey. Because it would be pulling you the other way, so you tie its feet and you leave it behind. No, Vayarkivei Malach Hamor, it joins you in the journey. It gets you to a place where you couldn't have gotten otherwise. It brings you to a higher place thanks to the Gashmias, not in spite of the Gashmias. And yet, this is not the highest level. The third level is the level of Asid Malach HaMashiach Li'igolis Olov, which is yet a third level. Because on this level, Sof Kol Sof, Rabbi Isai, what we're saying is, Kol Ma'asecho L'Shem Shamayim.
The Gashmius helps you reach your destination. But the Gashmius remains Gashmius. The Gashmius remains Gashmius. The physical remains physical, but it is useful. It is utilized. Whereas in the case of Vayachvash, it was neutralized, now it's being utilized. But utilized doesn't mean it was transformed. Utilized means it remains distinct from Kedusha. It remains separate from the world of Kedusha, but it serves a purpose. It advances the interests of Kedusha. Osit Melech HaMashiach Li Golis Olov, the third level of the Chamayi Rabbeis, is something entirely different. And it's what the Rambam finishes his Sefer Hayad with. The Rambam finishes the last words in Sefer Hayad, the Pasuk Mishaya, where the Rambam quotes the Pasuk that says, V'nigla Kved Hashem. The Kavod of Hashem will be revealed in the world. V'ro kol bosor ki pi Hashem diber. V'ro kol bosor ki pi Hashem diber. V'ro kol bosor ki pi Hashem diber. Literally translated means that all the flesh will see the word of Hashem. The bosor will see the word of Hashem. Rabbeisai, when we currently utilize Gashmis for the sake of Ruchnis on this second level where it's not ignored, it's not overridden, but it serves, it's incorporated into your daily life. Into your daily life. When you bring Kedusha into your business place, when you bring Kedusha into the kitchen, when you bring Kedusha into a holiday, when your car is used to do someone else a toiv, right? When Gashmias is used, l'shem shamayim, there's an underlying dynamic that takes place that is only going to unfold in the future when Mashiach comes. And what's going to happen then, says the Ramah, what says this pasuk, is v'nigla kved Hashem, v'ro kol bosor yachdav pi Hashem diber, which means that the bosor itself, the gashmius itself, the guf, which at this point is resistant to Kedusha, right? Like that Yiddish statement, like Yiddish phrase, guf will fress, and guf wants anything other than Hashem. The guf will become a means of connecting to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be all-encompassing, will be made in absolutely every reality to such a point that the guf itself will become a translucent vessel for Hashiras Hashchin. It will be made in the Gashmis. V'ro kol bosor. In the Gashmis, in the physical realm itself will appreciate the presence of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality will permeate every aspect of existence. And that's the true bitul of the Gzeira, El Yoinim, Yeidu La Tachtoinim, Yeid Hashem El Har Sinai. At the time of Har Sinai, which was a Me'ein of Lasid Lavoi, the whole world perceived Hashem's reality. You didn't have to go to higher realms. You didn't need to activate to bring forth the Neshama in order to perceive Hashem. But the Guf itself was capable of realizing, of seeing, of appreciating, of connecting, of being Dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch. And this is Osid Melech HaMashiach, he goes off. Those aspects of Olam HaZeh, which A, we originally neutralized to a point where it doesn't interfere with our Kedusha. And then secondly, we utilized for Kedusha. In retrospect, we will see how they became vessels for Kedusha, and within them there will be a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And this is our Rashi, that's Merumis, in the beginning of the story of Matan Torah, this is the purpose of Matan Torah. Purpose of Matan Torah is that into Mitzrayim comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes down into the darkest places and over there uncovers the Kedusha that's present there, that's dormant there, that's hidden there. And we help this process when we engage with Gashmius Olam. So to summarize, it's not a bidyevet. We have no choice, we live in a physical world, so we have to make do and do mitzvahs in spite of the Gashmius around us. The Gashmius is part of the Avodah. Ultimately, it is here, in this territory, that we make a difference and we create a revolution, a transformation. We don't appreciate it, we don't see it now. But when you engage with Gashmis for the sake of Kedusha, you're bringing Kedusha into the world in a way where it's going to permeate the entire existence. Umola oretz deya es Hashem. The physical earth will be filled with the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.